Well, what I'm working on now is a Minor Threat limited edition photo box set. Basically, it's five photographs that I took of a DC punk band called Minor Threat in December 1982, right before they were going into the studio to record their EP Out of Step. And I went to take photographs of them. Actually, Ian MacKay and I spoke about this recently, and we can't figure out whether they asked me to take photographs or if I just went over there and said, "Hey, I should take some photographs of you guys." But on the negative sleeve, we still don't know. We can't remember. But the negative sleeve says Minor Threat for Out of Step, but it was never used in Out of Step. So, for whatever reason, I don't know. And it was later used in a 7-inch they released, Discord number 15. Out of Step was Discord number 10. But so the photographs have been sitting there, and people have, in my negative sleeves and in a bunch of, in my storage with all my other negatives of punk, random punk shows that I took photographs of. But and a while ago, and it might even been before social media, which is a long time ago, I had this idea. I collect postcards, and I love postcards because they have kind of the information about what the photograph is. But then also, if somebody writes on it, it has these multiple layers of stories. And I always liked those stories and postcards, and I collect postcards. And as I've made postcards over the years, even of people from DC and punk bands with their cars, kind of in a way to use as a tool to document a scene. And I have this box that's like a biscuit box that I bought at a yard sale in like 1981, that's probably from the 1920s. It's like a British biscuit box, and in it I put all of my tickets that I got from punk shows, where there were tickets. So they were like the fancy punk shows, where they had a lot, Black Flag and Dead Kennedys or something in Los Angeles or something like that. But in that box, I open it up, and it's like multiple stories like unfold in my head when I open the box, and you look at those, it's like a scrapbook.
These are not regular photos. Tell me a little about the
So
technical
right.
aspect of the photos.
What I decided to do was do an limited edition, because I start thinking about it like, God, what happens if I sell them all? I want a couple for myself. And so the idea is to have this box that you can put in your like bookcase or something and pull it out and just look at it like I do with this box of tickets, and with that box, and because the photographs also going to yard sales and estate sales, you would know possibly, like, have you ever looked at old framed artwork? And you see it's all yellowed and deteriorated. And I always, even with the book Banned in DC that I published, I wanted to make sure it was on paper that didn't yellow and deteriorate like newsprint and zines did, because I wanted it to last so you could look back like the book as a story, right? So this is the same kind of thing as a story, but it's even more sort of precious, which is kind of not punk. So it's a dichotomy of this unpunk part of it, which is that I'm creating this sort of precious box set of these photographs that are pretty unique in that I printed every single one of them in my dark room. So there's five photographs of the band members of Minor Threat. This is when Steve Hanskin was a member of Minor Threat. So there's five photographs in the box set that I printed in my dark room.
The scrub, the silver gelatin process.
That whole process, for those who don't know, is you take your negative and you put it in a special negative carrier using special equipment, including what's called an enlarger, and you load it in. And there's a meticulous long process of setting up that negative to make sure the grain is focused, the time is ac the it's the precise and right time for the exposure of the paper. Then you put in light sensitive paper, expose it with a timer. The negative then exposes that paper through the light in the enlarger, and then it goes through a chemical bath process of about an hour, and about four different chemicals. And then it's washed, for another 45 minutes. So actually, I should say it's more like 2 hours, and then dried. So, and then there's this whole process that, for those who know digital, any kind of digital work in Photoshop, you sometimes go in and touch up photographs or touch up things where you remove things. Well, in this one, it all those tools in Photoshop came from actually touching up photographs in the analog version, like I did, and in the video that you might have seen, that you see the me touching it up, and I really wanted people to see that with a brush and with the special dye where you touch up all the dust out of the print. So probably each print that I did requires at least 3 hours of my time to make that print. So when you, if you, at least 3 hours. So there's five prints, that's 15 hours of my time at least, and just the printing process of making those photographs. I never thought about it till just now, but that's what it is at least.
Did any of these photos ever appear in zines where they would have been Xerox?
Yeah, well, so they never really seen early on because I developed them, made a contact sheet. They weren't used for out of step and time just went on. Back then in 1982 and 83 and 84 and 85, during that time period, what was important, what was happening now, right now, it wasn't the past. So the past was like, oh, that's the past. We're now looking right now. So let's do this now, or this is happening now. I'm going to the show now. It was all about now, 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 and sort of the future. There wasn't this looking back of the past. So it's interesting to think about this because now we're looking back at the past a lot. And I'm making this box set and it feels like the right time to make it.
Back in the zine days, were photos Xeroxed? How were photos displayed?
Right. So back in the day, in 1982, 81, 82, 83. As a matter of fact, when I moved from Los Angeles to DC in 1981, I was a huge fan of a zine called Flipside. And I asked them if I could sell them in DC. So I, you know, sold them at shows, like literally like a vendor holding them under my arm, $1 each. And that's where you saw the photographs. You would see it in a zine printed, either Xeroxed, which back in 1981, Xerox wasn't like primo as it is today. I mean, Xerox is really advanced. Since then, Xerox, or, you know, mostly printed, you know, it's pre-digital. So the screening is done in a manual way, and then printed on newsprint. So you lose a lot of the detail. You don't see it all in newsprint, and you don't see it all, you know, in Xerox until there became offset printing, which that's where you see it. So you'd see it, for example, in the Discord number 15, the 7-inch record, you see it, it's really clear. And that was like, back then, that was really fancy.
The fact that now you're creating it in a way that you really can get into every nook and cranny. I mean, it's the same way that back then you would make a cassette copy and make a copy and a copy and a copy, and you'd lose the fidelity, but you'd have the song.
Yeah, that's really cool. I never thought about that. But also, now that we're talking about this, the production, for example, of, let's say, a 7-inch record that had like an edition of 100, okay? You did 100 because that's all you could afford. And then you Xerox the cover and you put, usually, and folded it. You might've printed it at a printer that was inexpensive if you researched that. And you folded it, you usually put it in a plastic bag, or like the Minor Threat, the first 7-inch was folded and glued. And we all hung out together and folded and glued them and cut the tab and folded them. My point being is that a lot of it was like the handwork and the process of doing it by hand. And I guess this box set is the same thing. There's so much handwork. And I really love that process of putting all this detail in it. And just going back to that postcard, there's so much, like, there's so many stories and layers to it. It's the hand that wrote the story on the postcard. There's the stamp. There's the postmark. All those things are layers of stories, as is the box set. So there's the Minor Threat photographs of them, but then I'm layering the story about me making it, you know? So you get the box set of the photographs and yeah, oh, here's the photographs. But then I'm kind of putting myself in the story by saying, I made this box set and I was part of this. And I suppose even with those 7-inch records, there are these layers of stories that when you hold those objects, for me, I remember all that, you know?
You mentioned holding something, you know, back in the day, you would hold a record and you would, while you were listening to it, you would look at the liner notes. These photos are best kept in a different way, right?
The best way to store them, because I don't want somebody to store them sideways like a book in a bookcase. And I did mention a bookcase, but I definitely have books stored horizontally and not vertically, some of them, because I know they'll store better that way. And this has to be stored horizontally so that the photographs inside are flat. They're actually real paper. So there's like fiber in the paper, and that paper expands and restricts based on humidity. And it does, they do wave. And so they're not perfectly flat. Like a digital print now, you print it out and it'd just be perfectly flat and it would fall flat and it'd just be flat forever unless you spilled water on it. But these aren't really like that because they already went through this chemical wet process and they are dried. You know, you dry them the best you can, but it adds a little bit of this like almost patina to it of this hand making that you know that it went through this process and it's not completely flat. So you store it flat because if you store it vertically, then they'll start waving and slouching in the box. But you can also frame them if you want to frame them. And framing them is a good thing to do because it holds it in its place as long as it's an archival materials because paperboard is actually acidic.